Grace and peace to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we meditate on our gospel reading, primarily from John chapter 15 and into chapter 16 as well. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit at Pentecost, sent on the disciples to allow them to proclaim the message of Christ. Send us also your Holy Spirit this day as we hear that word and meditate on that word for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We could describe Pentecost as the festival of the Holy Spirit. That moment in the church year when we turn our attention to the Spirit and its great outpouring on the disciples, that first Pentecost, the Spirit who enables and empowers their ministry. Jesus calls the Spirit the Paraclete. Sounds like parakeet, doesn't it? It's not parakeet, it's paraclete. It's a little word in Greek with a very diverse and rich meaning. We heard it translated this morning as advocate. That's one of the ways it gets translated. You might also find helper, friend, aid, assistant, comforter, counselor, and others as well. It's a very rich word, a very diverse word that has the sense of all of that in it. What it literally means is one who comes alongside us. And it often has a legal sense. One who comes alongside, stands in for, speaks up for, is a friend, an advocate, a comforter, a counselor. All of this is held in this one little word, the paraclete. The best modern example I can think of a paraclete is Lawrence Hamill from The Castle. You remember Laurie? Introduced to Daryl Kerrigan as a QC, one of those lawyers rich people use, right? And Laurie comes in at a time when Daryl and his other lawyer, Dennis DeNudo, need a lot of help. And they're taking their case to the high court. And of course, Laurie's the one who makes all the difference. He stands in there with them, for them, speaks up for them, speaks on their behalf. Befriends them, comforts them, counsels them. He's a paraclete. He is there alongside them, fighting on their behalf. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us as well. According to Jesus, the influence of the Spirit in our lives is far greater, far beyond what we tend to think about on a daily basis. What we see in Acts 2 in our first reading is the great outpouring of the Spirit, the incredible, amazing, miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit's work isn't just that. The Spirit's work is also more ordinary and more regular and more everyday than that as well. And this is more the side of the Holy Spirit that I'd like us to focus on today, because this is the side that Jesus presents to us and promises to us in our gospel reading. So today I want us to look at the witnessing, the convicting, and the guiding work of the Spirit in our everyday lives. Jesus says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." And then he adds, "You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." He will testify or witness, same word. He will testify or witness. You also must testify or witness. Now, we're not told, we're not asked to testify and to witness about anything or everything, but Jesus says he will testify about me, about him. That's the content. That's the subject. That's the Spirit's main area of interest, right, is to draw our attention to teach us about, to witness to us about our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, I don't think, and I don't think that would greatly concern the Holy Spirit as long as we are talking a lot about Jesus Christ, because that's the Spirit's work. That's where he wants to draw us. That's where he wants to turn our attention time and time again. If we're thinking about Christ, learning about Christ, growing in Christ, then we are doing the Spirit's work. That's what the Spirit would have us do. So, the Spirit will testify, and you also must testify. We are called here to join our witness to that of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we start talking about witnessing and testifying and testimonies and this kind of thing, some of us are quickly perturbed by that sort of talk, put off by it, perhaps thinking that it's a bigger task or a scarier task than it necessarily is. I find it helpful to go back to the origin of the word. What does a witness do? What is their purpose? What are they there for? If you think again in a legal situation, because so much of the language in this text is legal in nature. So you think in a legal situation, in a courtroom, the witness is called in. Tell us what you know, right? Tell us what you saw, what you heard, what you've experienced, what you know to be the case. A witness isn't asked to give the whole story. They probably don't know the whole story. They're not asked to solve the case, right? They can't do that. It's not their job. The witness is called in to just provide their little part. Tell us what you know, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced in this situation. And similarly, as Christians, we're called on to witness, to do our bit, to speak our bit, to say our bit, especially when asked or when challenged or when put in that position. We don't have to do everything. We don't have to tell the whole story. We don't have to solve the whole case. That's not our business. But Jesus says, you also must testify. You must give your witness. You must speak up for me when called upon to do so. So Christ calls us into this ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and asks us to join our witness to His. As He directs people ever so gently, but ever so boldly, ever so sensitively, but ever so bravely to our Lord Jesus Christ. And it happens. It happens in our homes, happens in our schools, it happens in our communities, happens at the shops, it happens at our sports clubs. Opportunities, little opportunities to speak for, to stand up for the word of Christ. The only question is, when we're called on, will we do it? Will we be ready and will we do it? Today, Jesus assures us that if we do and when we do, the Spirit is there with us, speaking with us, helping us, giving us words, giving us courage to do so. Our advocate, our friend, our helper, our wise counsel. The Son, we're told, witnesses to the Father. The Spirit, we're told, witnesses to the Son. The Scriptures, we're told, witness to all three. And we are asked to join our witness to theirs. Now we've got a case, right? Now the evidence is building. Now we're making a case. So that's number one. That's the witnessing work of the Spirit, the ongoing witnessing work of the Spirit. Number two, the convicting work of the Spirit. Jesus says, jumping down the text a little bit, down to about verse 8, I think, of chapter 16. Jesus says, when He comes, when the Spirit comes, He will convict the world. Or our version had, He will prove the world wrong. Right? He will prove the world wrong. He will convict the world about what? About sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father. And about judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, I find these verses by far the most interesting and confusing of this whole text. And I always have. I've never understood what on earth this is talking about when I've come to it. And so this year I thought I better actually read about this and find out and think about it a little bit more. So I've done that. What I think this text is trying to say to us, or Jesus is trying to say to us here, is that the Holy Spirit has a convicting role, a proving the world wrong role, in at least three areas. And these areas we could summarize as what the world thinks is wrong, what the world thinks is right, and who the world thinks has the upper hand, right or wrong. What the world thinks is wrong, what the world thinks is right, and who the world thinks has the upper hand. And Jesus calls one sin, one righteousness, and one judgment. But that's basically what He's talking about. What the world thinks is wrong, what the world thinks is right, and who the world thinks has the upper hand. Now, when we talk about the world, one thing we have to remember is that the world is not just out there, right? The world is in here as well. We're talking about the way of the world, the waywardness of the world, which is part of us too. So the fact that the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of something means that he naturally convicts us of something as well. So we need to hear his word first into our hearts, take root in our lives before it can then go out to the world. So, what does the Spirit believe is wrong about what the world thinks is wrong? You with me? Okay. The first problem the Spirit sees is that the world is a sinful and broken place, but doesn't realize how sinful and broken it is. And I think you hear this, and we perhaps speak like this, when we put things down to bad circumstances, bad luck, bad timing, a few bad eggs out there, a few bad nations, perhaps, a few bad politicians. Now, if we could just get rid of them, just get rid of that, everything would be okay. I think we often think in this way. Jesus says this downplays the problem, right? It downplays it. It makes it too small, too manageable in a sense. Right? Or at least we think it's manageable. Oh, we just get rid of that and everything will be okay. But we get rid of that and what happens? It's not okay. He says the problem's deeper. It runs deeper. It runs right into our hearts, right into the center of our beings. The problem he calls sin. And he says the key evidence of it is that they rejected me as God's son. That I came from the Father full of grace and truth. I came for their blessing, for their benefit, and they wanted nothing to do with me. That's the heart of it. Right, the heart of the problem. And the key piece of evidence, Jesus says, that this is a problem. So the Spirit convicts us of being wrong about what's wrong, but also about being wrong about what's right, about what Jesus calls righteousness. What makes a person right? What makes a person good? What makes a person worthy of value in our society? The Holy Spirit says, you'd have some ideas, and they probably wouldn't be completely wrong. They would just miss the main point. All right? And Jesus says, the main point is, I'm returning to the Father. We think, what's he talking about? I'm returning to the Father means my mission is complete. I've done what I came here to do. I have lived and died and risen again, and now I return. And so righteousness is our connection to him and to that. Being righteous is receiving the completed work of Christ and saying it's not all about me, it's about him, but he has done it all and it is finished and he did it for me, and receiving that gift. That, Jesus says, is righteousness. Now that leads to a certain kind of life, to what we might call righteous living or good living. It's not the basis of our righteousness, but it is the outflow, the outpouring of it into the world. I want to read you a quote, which is a bit of an extended quote, but I think it's helpful. It's by a historian, an Irish historian, W.E.H. Leckie. And what he's doing is trying to unpack the way our connection to Christ actually leads into our righteousness or our goodness in the world. This is what he says. It was reserved for Christianity to present to the world an ideal character, which through all the changes of many, many centuries has inspired the hearts of people with an impassioned love and has shown itself capable of acting on all on all ages, all nations, all temperaments and all conditions. It has been not only the highest pattern of virtue, but also the strongest incentive to its practice, and has exerted so deep an influence that it may be truly said that the simple record of 3 short years of active life, talking about Christ, has done more to regenerate and soften humankind than all the disquisitions of philosophers and exhortations of moralists. In short, I think what he's saying is we become right by knowing Christ, we become righteous by faith in Christ, and we do what is right by following Christ. And that this pattern or this life in the world has an unparalleled power. Something that you can't get and you can't find anywhere else. And he says, I've seen it in Christianity through the centuries. I've seen the potential of the church. I've seen the potential at God at work through his people. not just to make them righteous, but to send them out to be righteous in the world in which they live. So, the Spirit convicts us, says we're wrong about what's wrong, we're wrong about what's right, but finally we're wrong about who has the upper hand in the battle between good and bad, right and wrong. It looks to many of us, I think, that evil often wins or is winning in our world. Like conflict, disaster, heartache, these things seem to get the upper hand, don't they? And every now and then we get something nice like a royal wedding, right? Breaks all that and everyone's happy about that, perhaps. I don't know if you are, all right? Lots of people watched it, 2 billion people around the world. Why? Why are we so drawn to something that's just happy, that's just a good news story? Because I think most of us have this sense that the world as a whole is not. There's a lot of bad news and the bad news seems to have the upper hand. Jesus says, wrong. There's more than what you see. He says, the judgment is this. The prince of this world is judged. Right? The ruler of this world. He's been thrown out. He's been done away with. Yeah, he's still active, but he's dethroned. He's not sitting as king, as judge, as ruler, as lord over it. Good has the upper hand. Righteousness has the upper hand, says Christ. It's important for us to know, even if it's an article of faith, even if it's just something we have to trust that we don't always see. Jesus says, know what's wrong, know what's right, and know who has the upper hand in this battle. Okay, so that's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's not just out there, it's in here as well. In fact, it has to start in here, for us at least. Okay, finally, the guiding work of the Spirit. Jesus says, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. The Spirit doesn't only convict, right? It's important for us to know. The Spirit doesn't only convict, the Spirit also educates and guides and gives wisdom and gives instruction and leads us through our lives. He doesn't just prove us wrong, he also shows us what is right. He also points the way. He also helps us in this life. And he does that, Jesus says, by leading us with and into the truth of God. The truth of God. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. This is what the Spirit wants us to know and wants to repeat to us. The timeless truth of God. And so he speaks to us again and again and again about these same things. And we might think we've heard it before, but the Spirit says you need to hear it again. That God made you. That God loves you. That God's redeemed you. That God sent Jesus to die for you. That God has a purpose for you. A future for you. That you can't justify yourself, but he has justified you. That you can't work your way to approval, but he has already approved of you. You're already valued in his sight. You don't have to earn that. It's a gift to you. These are the things the Spirit just wants to tell us again and again and again as he guides us into the truth and the grace of God for us in our lives. He fills us with hope. He fills us with joy and peace and all that is right and good. The Spirit is at work through the Word of God to lead and guide us in our lives from truth to truth and from strength to strength. Working in us what's sometimes been described as a sanctified common sense. Right? A Spirit-led common sense. So when we go out into the world, we go with the Spirit. And what we think and what we do, how we act, how we talk, the lot, is led by the Spirit because we are of the Spirit and we have received the Spirit. And so we can be confident that the Spirit is guiding and leading us in the world. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into the truth. He will guide you into a knowledge about me and then out into the world to witness to that, to yes, at times be convicted by that, but to also be guided by that through the many twists and turns of life. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Perhaps we don't always acknowledge his work within us and among us like we should, but We know that today he witnesses to us about you, that he calls us to witness to others. We know that he convicts us about things that are right and wrong and judgment. We know that he also guides us into the truth and grace of God. May that be the case for us and for others too in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.